Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, The Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. You know, growing up in our home, we had no clue what this was, and even when I first got saved, I didn't have a clue what it was. But the revelation came a little later in my Christian walk. And what we're going to see in this teaching has always been in the Word of God. You see, look at it like this. If you walked into a pitch dark room, no windows, just walls and a door to go in, and the lights were turned off, it would be pitch black, right? But if someone turned on the light, you would see, oh, there's a couch here. There's a picture here. There's a lamp here with a stand. Now, those things you couldn't see, but they were always there. Can I get amen? Well, I call it revelation knowledge. Meaning, things that God reveals in your walk with Christ. He doesn't give it all to you at one time. He shows it to you as you start walking with him. He starts revealing these things. And this morning is going to be a Hebraic. I'd love to go to the Hebrew roots. We're going to go to the Hebrew roots, and we're going to ask God to open up your eyes and your ears to see that it's always been in the Scripture what this pertains to. On the Feast of Trumpets. And so we're going to turn our Bibles. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54. And I'm going to read the Word of God. And the Word of God is also on the screen if you didn't bring your Bible. Here we go. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. I want you to just focus on that. The last trump. Not President Trump, but the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, on Wednesday night, you always see me preaching these scriptures at the very end, okay? But now we're going to get in more depth this morning. We're going to look closer. Okay, what's Pastor Fee keep preaching this on Wednesday nights at the end of his sermons? Okay, we're gonna dive in this morning, amen? So now, in verse 53, for the corruptible, this corruptible, in other words, this body of flesh that we live in right now, must put on incorruption. That means when Jesus comes, he's gonna change our body from these sinful bodies that we live in, and he's going to change it to the glorious body like his. And the Bible says we're going to be like him. Now look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You see, right now, in our present state, we will live and then die and go back into the ground. But when we have a body like his, we will live forever, and we will be like him. And this is why we must put on immortality, meaning we're going to live forever. So when this corruptible, this body, shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that God has a better plan for us? And it's awaiting us. And I truly believe it's around the corner. How many believe that God is about ready to return? Oh, yes, we're going to look at some things that are going to blow. It blew me away when I saw this. Now, when I said that we were going to go into the Hebraic root, we're going to look at some of the English words that are in the King James Version or New King James Version. But a lot of times they just go over our head. But if you look at the Hebrew root, of the word, it's going to say something totally different. Okay, so let me just ask you this question. When Hurricane Katrina hit, when the tsunami in Japan hit, remember that big old tsunami in Japan? When all these great catastrophes, these hurricanes that hit Florida over the past several years, do you suppose many of the inhabitants there would have liked to have known in advance of the catastrophe that was coming? There was another, what, 8-point-something earthquake in Haiti. Just what, yesterday or a day or two ago? And that whole place crumbled. My goodness. Wouldn't they want to know in advance if something of that magnitude was coming, right? Everyone would want to know that. And so to know in advance would to be of spared hundreds and maybe thousands of lives. Saints, we need to look at the last fall feasts that are soon to be prophetically fulfilled. Okay, so I'm going to show you in just a moment a chart, and we're going to see the first four that has been prophetically fulfilled by Jesus himself. And then we're going to look at the last three that are soon to be fulfilled, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, so now we need to look back to look ahead. So we're going to go into Leviticus 23:2. Look at this. I want you to see something up here. And I think I have a pointer up here. If not, yes. Well, it's not working up here. It's okay. Let's read this scripture. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the feasts of the Lord. Now, what comes to mind? Feast. First of all, yes, a buffet. All you can eat. That's right. Hometown buffet. Oh, slow your roll. They'll still have ribs for you. Oh, that's right. They shut them down. So forget about it. Concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. So now, if you were to see feast in your Bible, and then you see the word convocation, especially in the King James Version, it's going to go right by you. What does that mean? What is feast? Well, I think it's when you gather together with everyone. You guys have a feast and you guys eat, right? So let me open up a broader understanding of this. Now, look at this. The word Hebrew, the Hebrew word for feast is also called moed in the Hebrew, meaning it doesn't mean food. It means appointed times. Did you catch that? It's not food. It's appointed times. The Hebrew word for convocation is mikra, meaning a dress rehearsal. So our Jewish friends for the past 2,000 years or several thousands of years, they've all celebrated the seven feasts of the Lord, but they don't see Jesus in it. We do. And I'm going to show you how we see Jesus in this. Okay? I want you to understand how God has revealed this to us. Now, those of you who were with us at Temple Beth Shalom, I used to share this with Rabbi all the time. He goes, well, Reverend, I still don't see it, Reverend. And I said, I know you don't because your eyes are closed. I was just bold with him. He knew that. But we were friends. We didn't argue. But I want you to see this right up here. I want you to look at this chart. They're called the spring feast and the fall feast. It's in the Word of God. Okay, so now look at this. The very first feast that the Jews celebrate, and now what God is showing the church, Jesus died on Passover. Now, okay, so the Christians celebrate Easter, right? He died on Friday, rose again on Sunday, right? Okay, well, did you know on the day that Jesus was crucified, it was on their first feast, Passover. God appointed his son to die on Passover. Okay? You got to remember, Jesus is Jewish, all right? He's not a Gentile like us. Can I get amen? And so God called the Jewish people to be his chosen people that the Messiah would come through them. Amen? Unfortunately, my dad's Filipino, my mom's Mexican, but the Messiah didn't come through the Filipinos and he didn't come through the Mexicans. He came through the Jewish people. And we have been grafted in by faith. Can I get an amen? That's why the Bible is clear. There's Jews and Gentiles. We are Gentiles. We're not Jews. And we don't claim to be Jews. Can I get an amen? But God said, look at my feast. Honor the feast. Now, let's look at this. Jesus died on Passover, which is on the biblical Hebrew calendar, not our calendar, because our calendar changes all the time. But the Hebrew calendar is constant, never changes. So on Nisan 15, not Toyota, but Nisan, Jesus died on Passover. Now, how many know that Jesus, when he died, he was in the tomb for how many days? 3 days, and then he rose again on the what? Third day, right? Now look how prophetically this is fulfilled with the Jewish feasts. Jesus died on Passover. Then the second day, he's in the tomb. Now he's in the tomb on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, unleavened means that there is no sin. Leaven in the Word of God in the Old Testament was a type of sin. So Jesus, who was the sinless Savior, the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. So now Jesus is in the tomb on the second day and he had no sin. On the third day, we all know he rose again on the third day, right? He rose on their next festival called the First Fruits. He is the first to rise from the dead. You see, us Christians had no clue about this until it was revealed. And so now we're saying, oh my gosh, these seven feasts of the Lord tie in with our Messiah. Now, 50 days later from the third feast, which is First Fruits, they count 49 days. And now on the 50th day is the Feast of Pentecost. How many know what happened on the day of Pentecost? In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and one mind, and there came suddenly a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole entire room, and 120, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they all had cloven tongues as of fire, and they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was the ecclesia, the birth of the church. Can I get amen? So, Jesus died on Passover. He was buried in the unleavened bread. He rose again on first fruits. And then the Holy Ghost was poured out on Pentecost. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The last three fall feasts have not yet been prophetically fulfilled. So many theologians, many Hebraic teachers believe that the next greatest event that the world is ever going to see is the rapture of the church. The taken away. God's going to come for his bride. How many believe that we are the bride of Christ? Oh, come on. Yes, we are. We're washed in the blood. Amen. And we're filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when Jesus comes for his bride, he's going to take us up. But we've been reading, for those of you who log on Wednesday nights, I'm always hitting this because we don't know who's watching, who's listening. But God is coming on the Feast of Trumpets to take his bride home. We don't know what year though. We're not setting dates up here. Could it be this Feast of Trumpets, which is only a couple weeks from now? We don't know that. Hallelujah. And if it is, come Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come Lord Jesus. If he's coming for us on this feast, then prepare yourself. Amen. Because Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour. And we're going to look at this. So now look at this. The fall feast is the Feast of Trumpets, which is Tishri 1 and 2. It's a two-day feast. Why is it a two-day feast? Why isn't it just a one-day feast? All the other ones are one day. Because they celebrate it when they see the sliver of the moon. It's called a new moon. Sometimes it shows up on the first day or the second day. No one knows the day or the hour. Did you catch this? So they're always ready. And what's so amazing is what takes place on this feast day. Now, the next one is called Yom Kippur, meaning the Day of Atonement. So many believe that when Jesus comes and the last trumpet is blown and the church is out of the way, that's when God's going to pour out his wrath on this earth. Just like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going to pour out his wrath for the unbelievers that have no relationship with God, have no desire for God. And you know who those people are. Pray for them because there's still hope for them. I hope you know that. Can I get amen? there's always hope for them. But Yom Kippur is a day of atonement. This is where we're going to be with Christ in heaven, the church is. And God, hallelujah, there's so many things that happen on that day. Now, the last festival is the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, in Revelation, the Bible says that God is going to tabernacle with us face to face. Meaning, this is going to be the 1,000-year millennial reign. We're going to be with God forevermore. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. God will be with us face to face on the Feast of Tabernacles. Man, and I'm going to show you this in Scripture. Now, I'm going to be teaching in the next week or so the Feast of Yom Kippur, and then I'm going to teach on the Feast of Tabernacles before we take off on our trip, because these are now the festival days that are coming. Praise God. Now, I want you to see something else. What's the meaning of trumpets, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles? Let's look at this. Feast of Trumpets is a type of repentance. You see, when people have repented, have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus, washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit of promise, okay, then God, hallelujah, that's what trumpets is all about, that he's now going to take his bride home. Yom Kippur is redemption, meaning when Jesus was up there in the mercy seat, when Jesus rose again, he went into the mercy seat with his blood and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. So that you and I can be washed now in the blood and redeemed back from the devil. Can I get an amen? And then the last feast is Tabernacles. We're going to rejoice to be with Jesus the rest of our lives. Praise God. He's not just going to only live in us. We're going to be with him. And we're going to be with him face to face. Can I get an amen? Now, I want you to see this for a moment. Idioms. What is an idiom? Not an idiot, but an idiom. Okay? So let me just say this. If I said, hey, I want you guys over for some gobble gobble and some mashed potatoes and, you know, and what's, when I say gobble gobble, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Thanksgiving, huh? Turkey, right? Okay, so we're going to look at some idioms, okay, that regard the Feast of Trumpets. And we're going to see that there are seven things that happen prophetically on this festival day. Now, we saw already Passover, Jesus rose. He was in the tomb on unleavened bread. He rose again on first fruits. 50 days later, the Holy Ghost is poured out on Pentecost. Now we're looking at trumpets. So this morning, we're focusing on the Feast of Trumpets. Let's look at this for a moment. Idioms, let's look what idioms mean in the Webster Dictionary, Webster definition. It's a construction or expression of one language whose parts correspond to elements in another language, but whose total structure is matched in an indirect way. So like I said, hey, let's come over this November for gobble gobble. You already know. Thanksgiving. Okay? So we're going to see now in the Word of God seven things that take place on the Feast of Trumpets. Number one, we're going to go through these and we're going to dissect this. Number one, look at this. The time of Jacob's trouble. It's called the 7-year tribulation. It will be the beginning of a new 7-year Shemitah cycle. Now, for those of you that don't know what a Shemitah cycle is, all it is 7 years. Now, according to the Hebraic calendar, this Feast of Trumpets that's coming in September is the last of this 7-year cycle. 2023 will start a brand new 7 Shemitah cycle, and many believe that's possibly the beginning of the tribulation. I'm not going to set a date, but look, the Bible, Jesus said that there will be birth pains before the tribulation. Are we seeing birth pains now? Huh? Aren't we seeing those right now? Everything's converging together. Earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, pandemics, they're called plagues or pestilences. We're seeing apostasy. People are leaving church. We just talked about it earlier today. There's some people that don't want to come and worship no more. They'd rather stay home. Jesus said that there will be false prophets. All these things are happening. And he said it would be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, meaning Lot and Noah's day. Now, how many know in Noah's day it flooded, right? And then in Lot's day, fire and brimstone fell. Right now, as we speak, Europe and China is being flooded. They never seen floods like that. Their houses are underwater. And right now, from California to the Midwest, it's on fire. It's burning left and right, isn't it? Oh, yes. Everything's converging in one. So now, we're gonna look at these seven things that take place on the Feast of Trumpets. Number one, many believe the seven-year tribulation will begin on the Feast of Trumpets on the beginning of that new Shemitah year, which is not this one, but the following one, okay? Number two, the day of the awakening blast, the rapture of the church. How many can't wait to get raptured out of here? Or you want to stay in these bodies that just ail you? Huh? How many of you right now have been afflicted really badly in your body? I'm the first one to raise my hand. Huh? Oh, that's right. You know, my mom, my grandmother, her grandmother, and their grandmother all had diabetes. And there's 11 brothers and sisters, and I happen to be one of them that was passed to me. Let me just say this. I can't wait for that new body. This one's failing me. I'm sorry. It's failing me. And I want that new, I want that change. I want to be, listen, but more so, let me tell you why I'm so thankful to God. Not that I'm getting a brand new body. You know what I'm thankful for God for? He saved me from hell.
Thank you, God. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
He saved me from going to that horrible place. He died for me. He died for you. Be thankful that he died for you and he called you in this generation to be saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. Thank you, God. So that's another idiom, meaning an event that's going to take place on the Feast of Trumpets. Number three, it's called Yahadim, the day of judgment, the opening of the books, the opening of the gates. God's going to open the gate and we're going to walk in heaven and celebrate with him when he takes the church home. And then God's going to open up the books. Did you know your name is written in the what? Book of life. And there are many other books that are going to open up. And he's going to reveal our life right before us. But we're not going to be judged at that moment to perish because we have already been saved. But he is going to bless his church, his chosen ones, on what they've done for Christ since they've been saved. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. But on the white throne judgment, that's when God's going to resurrect the unbelievers. And they're going to be judged and be cast in the lake of fire, which burns forevermore. Look at number four, Yom HaKiseh. It's called the hidden day. The hidden day. I'm going to touch on this right now in a few moments. We're going to go a little faster. But I need to break down these points here, and then we're going to go through it. Amen? How many are getting something out of this already? Praise God. The hidden day is where God will hide us from the day of wrath. He's going to hide us. He's going to hide us in his pavilion. And we're not going to, the Bible's clear, we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. Okay, look at this next one, number five. Ha Kidashim Nusuin. Meaning, we're going to celebrate the wedding of the Messiah. And who is the bride? We are. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? We're going to be right there celebrating the wedding of the Messiah. Oh my gosh. It's going to be a glorious event where he will complete the betrothal. And we're going to break that down in a few minutes, how we've been betrothed by Jesus. We don't see it in the English connotation, but in the Hebraic root, we're going to see how it all ties in a few moments. Can I get amen? And then Ha Melech, the coronation of the Messiah. When we're in heaven with him, he's going to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He's going to be the Alpha and the Omega. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to see the coronation of his kingdom. And his Father, hallelujah, is going to crown him Lord of all. And we're going to be there with him. Can I get amen? And the last one is this one. It was six. Now, so we're going to go now into what? The time of Jacob's trouble. Okay, bear with me now. Don't fall asleep on me. Hallelujah. If you fall asleep, I'm gonna do one of these and try to find you like this. See that? Hey, wake up. Wake up over there. You don't want that in your eye, do you? I only get a chance to teach this once a year, so hold on to your seatbelts. Here we go. So now, the time of Jacob's trouble. What is that? Okay. It's the seven-year tribulation. It will be the beginning of a new seven-year Shemitah cycle. Now, here's the word of God that pertains to this. It's found in Jeremiah 36 through 7. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hand on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. There's not going to be a day like it ever in the history of this world. It's going to be the tribulation period. Look at this. For that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Hallelujah. Listen, we've been grafted in by faith. Can I get an amen? So all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hallelujah, God's going to deliver us from the day of wrath. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Listen, this is why we need to rejoice when we see these things coming. God did not give us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. Can I get amen? We must see these things and say, okay, God, it's about time. It's about time to take us home. Thank you, God. Look what it says in the book of Daniel. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never once since there was a nation. Okay, so he's talking about this generation that's coming. That we're here already. It's here upon us. Such as never was since there was a nation. Look at this. Even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found, what? Written in the book. That's why you must be born again. Once you become born again, God writes your name in the book of life. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? My goodness. Look what it says right here in verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. How many of you right now have blessed loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord and their bodies in the ground? Oh, come on. We just did a celebration of life of that man right there. His body's in the ground, but his soul and spirit is with God. But look at this, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Meaning there's going to be two people that's going to rise from the dead. Those who died in Christ and those who died as unbelievers. Look at this. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You see, what happens automatically to a believer is you share the gospel. How many of you, when you got saved, man, you must have told everyone in your family first, right? Or you haven't said anything yet. It should come out. To me, it was automatic. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I must have called 50 people. And they all said, what's that brother on now? Oh, yeah. But I was just so glad to be saved. How many so glad to be saved? Amen. Are you glad to be saved? Come on. Look at this. Look at Matthew. Look at what Matthew said. For there will be a, Jesus said it in red writing. For then there will be great tribulation such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. That day hasn't come yet. That hasn't come yet, nor shall ever be. In other words, when that day comes, there will never be a day like that ever again. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. This lets you know there's something horrible that's coming. Terrible. Because Jesus even said it in his own word. But for the elect's sake, say that with me. For the elect's sake, turn to your neighbor. You have been elected. We are the elect of Christ. Can I get an amen? Look at this. No flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Praise God. So you notice when God said, Jesus said the days will be shortened. Have you noticed that the days go quick now? Man, when we were kids, a day lasted for 2 weeks. We'd ride our bikes, man, until 9 o'clock at night, man. That day would not quit. Now, as soon as you wake up in the morning, you're putting your eyes to sleep to go to bed. That's how fast these days are going. We cannot physically see it, but it's like the time is crunching. It's condensing. Jesus said that would happen. Let's look at the next connotation. Look at this. The day of the awakening blast, the rapture of the church. Look, I need you to catch this, because when we go to Maranatha Chapel, if you're choosing to go with us, they're going to have someone blasting the shofar up there. And this is what the Jews do every year. They do it every year. It's like repetitious to them. It's like religion to them. But for us, we're looking at this and we go, this is prophetic. This is so prophetic. Let's look at this. On the Feast of Trumpets, the shofar is blown 100 times. And there are 3 sounds made with the shofar that our Jewish friends do in their religious ceremony. Look at this. Number one, it's called the tekiah, 1 long straight blast. The shevarim, 3 shorter blasts. And then terura, 9 quick blasts in short succession. This series is blown 11 times for a total of 99 blasts. And the final blast is called the last trump. Oh, that just went right by your head, didn't it? The last trump. Well, we just read in Corinthians at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up, right? Yes, yes. Well, let's read that again so we get it in our spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the what? Last trump. Hello, that's an idiom. That's a hint. That's gobble, gobble. That's Turkey Day. Remember, we just shared, right? And so this ties in the last trump, because they celebrate it every year. And so they've been doing a dress rehearsal. When Jesus comes, it's going to be the real deal. He's going to come on that last trump. The angels in heaven are going to blast it. And we're going to be changed, and we're going to be like him. For the trumpet will sound, meaning the shofar will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Look at this. And we read that one already. So let's go to the next verse of scripture here in 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself, say that with me. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the what? Trump. There it is. The trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Remember when Donald Perkins was here? He brought a revelation to us. Because we're going to be changed so fast into our new body. But I love what he said. Nowhere in the scripture do you see that when we're changed that fast, we're going to be with him in the clouds that fast. No, he said we're going to float up. And we're going to be a witness to the unbelievers as we're going up. And that's something, because everywhere in scripture, Jesus just floated up. They were like, where's he going? And then all of a sudden, they couldn't see him no more. We're going to be that witness to them. We're going to be changed, and we're going to be like him, and we're going to go up no differently. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's look at our third idiom. Yom HaDin, day of judgment. The opening of the books and the opening of the gates. Praise God. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 3:13. Each one's work will become clear. Okay, remember we talked about things that we do as believers? For the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built endures, look at this, he will receive a reward. How many love rewards? Okay, they don't come from Target or Walmart. These are everlasting rewards. Look at this. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I had to do a deeper study on that, and you know what that means? If you do everything for Christ with a pure heart, with the right agenda, you will obtain a whole lot from God. But if you're doing things for Christ with an alternative agenda, your heart's not right. It's not where it's supposed to be. And you are, like Brother G would say, you are faking the funk. Going through the motions. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But yet your heart's not right. Then God said, I'm still going to save you, but you're going to lose a whole lot. At least that brings comfort. Yeah. I mean, have you ever heard preachers say, I got in by the smoke of my tail? I just got in. Why do you want to just get in? Man, I want to get in and say, oh, God, hallelujah. I can't. Man, if you have something for me, praise God. If not, that's okay. I get to worship you forevermore, face to face. Can I get amen? Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must, look at this. This is on the Feast of Trumpets. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You and I. We will all appear on the judgment seat of Christ. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are all well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. You see, every one of us, our actions, our motives will be judged in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever lays in the dust for us or whatever's left over, that's what he's going to reward us with. So here's the fix to all this. If there's maybe something not right, today you can get it right. And from this moment on, walk with purity in heart. Can I get amen? Ask God, say, hey, God, you know what? I've been failing you, God, in areas of my life. Oh, God, help me straighten up those things that are crooked right now in my life. Hallelujah. Help me, God. Help me that when I stand before you, you will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Can I get an amen? Jesus, thank you, God. Now look at this. Look at this. For the unbeliever, then I saw a great white throne in Revelation 20:11, and him who sat on it. From face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. See, this is the opening of the books on the Feast of Trumpets. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Now look at this. Then the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Meaning, people who die without Christ, they go into a holding place called Hades. And they're being tormented in there. They're being tormented in there. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Oh my gosh, look at this. This is the second death. Not only did they die physically, now they're going to die spiritually. And anyone not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. My goodness, this is why we need to pray for our loved ones. Can I get amen? This is why, listen, if someone's wronged you, man, don't try to get even. Pray for them. See, God, I want my heart of mercy toward them because they don't know any better. They maybe have not been born again. And we are to cry out for them. Why? Because that's going to be a horrible place of torment that no one talks about no more. It's a hideous place. And I don't want to be there, do you? And neither does loved ones that you know, friends that you know, co-workers that you know. Don't look at them with a mocking laugh and say, ha ha, you know what, you idiot. No, have a heart of mercy because God came to die for us. He came to die for them too. And then after the books are open, then the gates start to open on the Feast of Trumpets. Look at this. In Psalms 24, lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. So when the gates are open, we're coming in, and we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, the King of glory. How many can't wait to see the King of glory? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look at this. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. So on the day, on the Feast of Trumpets, the gates are going to spring wide open, and we're gonna walk right in. You know why? Because we are now the righteousness of Christ by faith. We're not righteous in our own strength and our own merit. God has called us righteous because of the blood of his son. And so we're going to walk in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, through which the righteous shall enter. And I will praise you, for you have answered me and become my salvation. Is Jesus your salvation?
Yes. Jesus is my salvation.
Thank you, God. Now, it gets better on the Feast of Trumpets. It's called Yom HaKaseh. It's called the hidden day. The hidden day. And God will hide us from Satan that day. Oh, yes, he will. He's going to, you know why? The Bible says no one knows the day or the hour because Satan don't know the day or the hour he's coming as well. So he's going to do a shock and awe on old slew foot. Can I get an amen? He's going to do a shock and awe on him. He's not going to know. Listen, remember when Jesus hung on the cross? All the demons in hell said, we got them now. We got them. And then he rose again on the third day. He surprised old slew foot. From that moment on, his days were numbered. It's the hidden day. Look at this, saints of God. I need you to see this. I need you to see the hidden day. It's found in Zephaniah. Some of you probably have your pages still stuck together. Never been there. Zephaniah 2, 1 through 3. Look at this. Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, all undesirable nation, before the decree is issued. Or that day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger, what? Comes upon you. So here's what we need to do right now. This is what you need to tell your friends. You need to tell your family members that don't know God is verse 3. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. It may be that you'll be hidden. Look at this. You'll be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Did you catch that?
Yes.
It's called the hidden day. We will be hidden from his anger. And he will cover us like an eagle covers his little sibling, you know, the little baby, the little chicklings, whatever you want to call the little eagles, how it's covered by the wings. God's going to cover us in that hidden day. Oh, that's right. Why is God going to do that for us? Why? Because it's spelled out in the New Testament. For God did not appoint us. Look at this, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify. In other words, build one another up. Don't tear each other down. It's easy to tear someone down, so much harder to build someone up. Oh man, we're good at fault finding. Oh, wait a minute. I remember. You remember. And then there's three pointing right back at you. Can I get amen? Oh, we're good at that. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as also you are what? Doing. Praise God. Praise God. Now look at this. Look at Psalms. Look what King David wrote prophetically. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. And we're going to see this pavilion, what it looks like in a few moments. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me and he shall set me high on a rock. Meaning God's going to keep us from that wrath that's coming. There's a wrath coming. Oh, yes. Come on. It ends in judgment. And then the 1,000-year millennium reign where Christ will rule and reign on this earth with a rod of iron of righteousness. How many of you can't wait when all the smut and junk is gone from your television set? It's deleted from your phone. People won't be walking in wickedness. There will be no more looting and shooting. There will be no more dying in the streets. That's what God's going to do when he comes and rules and reigns. I want that life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Look at this. In Isaiah 26. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself as if were for a little moment until the indignation has passed. You know what indignation means? That means when the wrath of God has passed. So God's going to hide us from that horrible day. And he's going to hide us from the indignation. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Look at this. And the earth also will disclose her blood and will not cover her slain. Look at this. God's going to expose all the evildoers. And he's going to cast judgment on them. But he's going to hide us from that day. We're going to be hidden in the pavilion. How many of you are understanding this message right now? Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so, saints, this is also a hidden day from Satan. Jesus told his disciples, look at this, but of that day no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Aren't you so blessed that he didn't whisper in your ear, hey, don't tell no one, but I'm coming tomorrow. The whole block will know in 2 minutes. Don't worry, God, I won't say a word. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, we can have some fun too, right? It's not always bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Look at this. So here is the big clue for us. Here is the big clue for you and I. Okay? It's found in 1 Thessalonians. Look at this. But concerning the times and seasons, how many of you have heard me say this several times now? That don't look at the timeline, but look at the sign line. And we're in the season of that prophetic signs now. Look at this. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not what? Escape. But look at this. But you, brethren, turn to your neighbor and say, you, brethren, are not in darkness. Did you catch that? But you, brethren, that's us, the church, and many other churches across the nation, across the world, that see these things, that God has revealed this to. We're not the only one. And we never claim to be the only one. There's many. We're going to go to Maranatha Chapel, and they believe the same way. And there's 4,000 people that's going to fill this place. That's how many seats they have. But look at this. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not what? Overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. That means we're walking in spiritual light. We've been illuminated. We're born again. We're not walking in darkness no more. The unbeliever is walking in total darkness. All they want to do is, you know what? Thug it up, drink it up, smoke it up, cuss it up. Oh, come on. And they may say, praise the Lord, when they're around you. Look at this. You are the sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night or the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. This is the time now. These are the signs. God, I believe you're coming. We need to be now about our Father's business. Listen, I truly believe this is why God gave us another 2 years here. You know why? Because God's doing something special. He's going to keep doing things that are going to be mind-blowing. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. My goodness. But look at this. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us, there it is, unto wrath, but to obtain salvation. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, through Jesus Christ. Now, we have two more points to cover, and then we'll close. Okay, so how many want me to finish the last two? Okay, I only just see one person that wants to hear the last two. Now, look at this. The Feast of Trumpet is on Tishri 1 and 2. Remember I told you it's a two-day feast. It's a second-day feast, and no one knew when the sighting of the new moon would be. So when they saw the new moon, the feast began. So that's what they look for in the sky. They look for that little sliver. See that little sliver up there? It could be on the first day or the second day. No one knows. But when it does appear, the feast has begun. Okay? And so I remember we were walking out of Maranatha Chapel. I forget what year it was. And there was the little sliver. I go, oh my gosh, it came on that day. Just like he said it would. It's clockwork with God. You don't have to worry about God's calendar. It's clockwork. Our calendar, man, sometimes we're celebrating what? Easter in March. And then sometimes Easter at the end of April. It doesn't want to make up its mind. But the Hebrew calendar is constant because it's God's calendar. Now, this one I love. We're going to look at this because it's called HaKidashim Nusuin. I'm hoping I said it right. It's called the Wedding of the Messiah. For those of you that got married, and it wasn't you have to acknowledge that it was a blessed moment. It was the day of your life. You couldn't wait for that day to come, right? Okay? So I want you to see something in Scripture. This is how God betrothed us. See, we've been betrothed. This is why we're called the bride of Christ. You ever heard that term, we're the bride? Okay, because we've been betrothed. In other words, he has set us apart. He came to us first. We didn't come to him. And we're going to see how you and I, because in the Jewish custom, the bride that accepts the invitation of the groom drinks a cup of wine to finalize the wedding. And we're going to see this right now because it's so clear in Scripture on how God betrothed us. And just like how the Jewish custom has always been, Jesus didn't do anything outside of that box. He did everything according to the custom of the Jewish tradition. Because he's Jewish. He's a Jewish rabbi. I hope you know that. But he has become our Savior now. And we've been grafted in by faith. So all the blessings of Abraham has now become to the children of Christ. Can I get amen? That's us. So let's look at this. Marriages were arranged by the parents, Abraham for Isaac, Typically, the young man will go to the house of the bride and be carrying three items. A, a large sum of money. B, a betrothal contract. And C, a skin of wine. Anyone arriving at a house with these three items was definitely considered a prospect. Okay? So you got to remember, when that potential groom would come to a father's home, it was up to her to accept him as her husband. And if she accepted, she would drink from that skin of wine, a cup of wine, and it would seal the deal. But let's look at this. If the bridal price was approved, a glass of wine was poured. If she approved, the betrothal contract became a legal document between the two. Their status was betrothed rather than fully married, even though they would be called husband and wife. Meaning now, in their tradition, as soon as she drank the cup for a whole year, he would go away and prepare a place for her. I need you to catch this in the spirit. Where did Jesus go away? To prepare a place for us. Are you catching this? He told his disciples during the Last Supper, I go away to prepare a place for you. So he's going to come back for his bride. And this is how they did it. Now, in Ezekiel, spells it out. When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you. Let me just say this. This is what a marriage is. It's, you know what? Mankind here has made it a contract. And so we can dissolve it anytime we want. But a marriage, as a believer, is a covenant unto God. Never forget that for one moment. It's a covenant unto God. God looks at marriage seriously. He doesn't take it lightly. What he means. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you. And you became mine, says the Lord God. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood and I anointed you with oil. This was prophetic for the bride, us, that he washed us in the blood and filled us with his spirit. And now we are his. Thank you, God. So now, remember we talked about the chamber, the pavilion? Well, there's going to be a big giant one in heaven. This is just a miniature one. Look at this. In the Jewish tradition, the bridegroom would make the statement. He would go to his father's house and prepare a place for her. This place was known as the chamber. You ever been to a Jewish wedding? That's the chamber. It's where when these drapes are closed, then the bride and the bridegroom have intimacy in there. And when we are in heaven with him, it's going to be intimacy, not sexually, spiritually. And we're going to be with him forevermore. It's called the chuppa, C-H-U-P-P-A. And when Jesus comes for his church, when he comes for us, it's going to be like this. How many can't wait? He's going to receive us. He's going to receive us. And we're going to see him face to face. You got to remember that he betrothed us. He came to us. And we said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Remember that. Yes, Lord. And so, look at this. Look what Jesus wrote. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Did you catch that? So it's been 2,000 years. Just imagine what he has prepared for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Just like that picture we just saw. He's going to receive us to himself. How many can't wait for that moment? I can't wait for that moment. I will come again and receive you to myself. And look at this. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. You see, his disciples knew that they were betrothed. You and I need to know you are betrothed. You see, my friends, the bride has been bought with a price and is to spend her time preparing to live as a wife and mother in Israel, spending her days learning how to please her husband and waiting for his return. So their custom is he goes away, prepares a place, and she's just all about, I can't wait to be a mother. I can't wait to be the wife. And mom teach me these things. She's always gleaning at her. My mom teach me these things that I would please my husband when he comes for me. And this is the church. We need to praise and please God because he's coming again. Can I get amen? Amen? We need to worship him and praise him and exalt him and walk in his ways and walk under the anointing of God and walk, hallelujah, in the prophetic call in our life. We need to prepare just like this Jewish girl has prepared herself. We're the bride now. We're preparing for the return of Jesus. Thank you, God. And so the bridal price was established for the bride. Hallelujah. Saints of God, I only got a few more points. Can you hold your, you want to keep going? I don't want to quit yet. Come on. Don't worry. There's still hamburgers at Jack in the Box. Look at this. You got to know this. This is where it comes home to us. Remember the little Jewish girl waiting a whole year, preparing to meet the groom. Look at 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver, gold, or from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I need you to catch this. And how we were betrothed. Okay? Look at this. In 1 Corinthians. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not of your own? You were bought at a price. Did you catch that? Therefore, now glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are what? God's. So listen. He has now preeminence over our life. Why? Because we have given ourselves to him. And he has bought us with the precious blood. Just like how that Jewish man came and brought wine to that little Jewish girl. She drank a cup and says, you are mine. And now the church belongs to Jesus. It belongs to Jesus now. We're not of our own. Yeah, I know a lot of us have our own agendas. We have a lot of preconceived ideas, but it better line up with God's word. It better line up with God's word because God will reject man's wisdom and only receive what's written in his word. He will not go outside of his word. Be careful where you get your instruction from. Make sure it comes from the word of God. Can I get amen? Now look at this. The bride and the groom are betrothed. That's us. That's us. Look at this. This legally binds the two together, but they don't live together. So in the tradition of the Jewish people, she accepts, she drinks of the cup, he goes away for a year, prepares a place for her, and she waits patiently Just like we are waiting patiently. Because Jesus is coming back for us. Can I get any, are you understanding this?
Yes.
Now look at this in Hosea. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice and loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day I will answer, says the Lord, and I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. Wow. Look at this. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. They shall answer with Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. That's you and I. Remember, we were not of people of God, but God came and pulled us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God prophetically saw what he was going to do to his bride in the future, and that's us. It's prophetically about us. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. At one time, we were just walking around. I'm just going to say it plain as possible. We were all heathens. Can I get amen? And God came and saved us miraculously. So now, I need you to catch this now. The written document drawn up called the Ketubah, which states the bride price, promises of the groom, and the rights of the bride. The Bible is our Ketubah. Write that down. The Bible is our Ketubah. You catch that? It's our Ketubah. Look at this in 2 Corinthians. For all the promises of God are what? All the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit and our hearts as a guarantee. Did you know that the bride had to drink the cup and say, I do? How many believe that the bride is not walking blindly? She has to say, I do, right? Can I get amen to that? Look at this right here. The bride must give her consent and say, I do. So when a Jewish man would come to the Jewish girl and gave the cup, she had a choice right then and there to drink the cup or say, no, you're not the one for me, and I reject you. So he has to move on. And so the one, she says, I do. And so I'm going to ask this question. What was our cup that we drank? I'm going to ask you this question plainly. What was our, as the church, what was our I do? Go ahead, brother. You can shout it out. No. We all had an I do. Because Jesus came knocking. Remember, he came knocking. He came knocking at our door. And we opened the door. It's right here in God's word. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. You see, when we said, yes, Lord, God came knocking. God came to save us. And we said, yes, Lord, save me, God. And at that moment, he betrothed us. Look at what it says here. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, meaning Jew and Gentile. For the same Lord is rich to all who call upon him. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
So, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're coming in for a close. We're coming in for a close. I know this is a little longer message, but are you getting something out of it?
Yes.
Huh? Are you getting something out of this? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Look at this. How many can't wait to be part of the marriage supper of the Lamb? You know what's going to take place there? A giant party. We're going to rejoice. Oh, yes, let us be glad. Look at this. Let us be glad in Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. We have made ourselves ready because we're the bride. And to her, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous, what? Acts of the saints. That's us. We're the saints of God. Then he said to me, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true sayings of God. In other words, God cannot lie. He cannot lie. And last, the coronation of the Messiah. We're going to see the coronation of the King. Praise God. And then we'll close. Look at this. With trumpets and with the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in its fullness. You know, when you say the sea roar, you think that the ocean? No, that means the sea of humanity all around the world in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world, and the peoples with equity. Wow. Hebrews says it best. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. How many of you believe that his throne is forever and ever? That's right. It's forever and forever. Because God is an everlasting God. I want to go to Titus real quick. Look at this. Titus, say that with me, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. We are the bride, the special people. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Looking for that hastening in the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved. See, God is going to hide us in his pavilion, and God's going to do a new thing on this earth. He's going to renovate this whole planet. You ever bought a brand new renovated home? Man, it's so beautiful. And you'll see the before and after picture. Like, what? That house used to look like that? God's going to renovate this planet. But this is what he has to do first. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. How many can't wait for that day of righteousness? That's right. He says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to those things, be diligent. Okay, now God is telling us as the bride to be diligent, to be found by him in peace. We need to be in peace with one another. Can I get amen? Amen. We're not to be in clamor. We're not to be in division. We are to have harmony with one another, yes, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, he has written to you. Look, what did he write to us? As also in his epistles, speaking them of these things, which are some things hard to understand. For some of you, these things are hard to understand. This is why I pray that God would give you ears to hear and eyes to see, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. Did you know that there are some people, they'll just tailor make it for themselves. This is how I perceive this. And they walk in error. They don't get it. People twist their own destruction as they also the rest of the scriptures. Wow. But you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Hallelujah. I'm going to call those up to worship, and we're going to end this message this morning. How many of you got something out of this message? How many of you have maybe heard it for the first time? Okay. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I truly believe that the Lord is going to have the best for us to come. Can I get amen? Even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of all what we see right now, God is saying, hey, the best is yet to come. I have a blessing in store for each and every one of us. Walk in your call. Walk in your prophetic call. Don't lean to the left or to the right, but look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And those of you right now that are logged in on YouTube and Facebook, we bless you in the name of Jesus. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the moment right now that you can give God all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, because it all belongs to him. I'm going to ask our family here at Amazing Grace to pray with me, to pray for you. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity to ask him to come into your life. Jesus is bringing the cup of wine to you right now. It's up to you to drink it. It's up to you to say, I do. It's up to you to say, yes, Lord. Save me. And if that's you, bow your heart and your head with me as we just read this scripture. If you confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth, God will save you and deliver you and bless your life. And once you give your life to God, find a church that will baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ask God to fill you with the power and the Holy Spirit, that you would walk worthy of his ways, and that you would prepare yourself for the soon coming King, the groom, for we are the bride of Christ. If that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you, God, that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Is he worthy? Jesus is worthy, amen. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.